Hi, this is Paul Warren, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to one of the final episodes of the Rams Review Podcast for the season. Hopefully, as Derby County managed to secure that 3 points in a very interesting game of football down at the Abbey Stadium against Cambridge, which we are going to cover. And of course, the build-up this week is, although it's not quite mathematically sorted, it does look like now Derby have one firm foot in the Championship for next season. So we've got all that to cover, and all the permutations we'll go over. And it's not just the men who have got an exciting week. The women, Jack, also having lifted the plate final trophy. Obviously, you're going to give us all the inside scoop from a very positive Rams weekend for the women. So my guests are, of course, Jack Bryan and Chris Holt. Evening, guys.
Good evening, Jason. Good evening, Jack.
Yeah, good to be back. It's been, a good few days, busy few days, two crucial Cambridge clashes. And, it's now hopefully Sunday marked the start of a historic 7 days for the club. We can hope, but who knows?
Well, absolutely. Fingers crossed. We will obviously start with, as you say, both teams entertaining games against Cambridge at the weekend. Strange how that fell, really. And both coming out with wins, which obviously is fantastic for both individual sides. But of course, we do focus mainly on the men. And Chris, we built it up. Obviously, other results were in favour, sort of went in favour a couple of weeks ago when I last spoke to you on the pod. Saturday was pretty routine for two of the sides, as we fully expected them to be. And all Derby needed to do was somehow come out of Cambridgeshire with at least something. And they managed the 3 points, which puts pressure on Peterborough tonight in their catch-up game, which eludes me who they're playing. I'm sure they're away. And I want to say it's Cheltenham, who have been on a bit of a run just recently as they battle to stay in the first division. So not an easy game for Posh, who haven't obviously been great travellers over the last couple of games. So that one will be an interesting watch to see how that one goes. That obviously also has permutations for Derby on Saturday. Posh get the win tonight. Then obviously Bolton or Peterborough, they'll need to win their game. So that actually could easily play into Derby's hands. As we well know, all Derby mathematically need is a point. Although I don't want to, we'd hate to lose on Saturday and still go up. But I mean, the permutations of Derby now faltering, Chris, I mean, there's got to be an impressive goal swing as well. It's not over till the fat lady sings, of course, but I am very much in the, we are one foot in the Championship camp, and Derby did what they needed to do. They got an away performance that was probably was lacking against Northampton, was sort of lacking against Wickham. Obviously not lacking against Pompey, one of the last away games out. They did what they needed to do. They weathered a bit of a storm. They took a goal on the counter, which I think is probably one of the first goals from open play since Easter, which obviously is 4 or 5 games ago now when you look at it. Ticking boxes again, and when all said and done, they have now earned the right to go out in front of a sold-out Pride Park on Saturday with advantage in their hand, and they have got the opportunity to finish off what would be okay at times. Fans probably not so happy with some of the football, but all in all, finishing with the best, we've broken the away wins record. We've got the best points tally since it became 3 for a win. And just to top it off on Saturday, after all we've chatted on this podcast over the last 45 games, it will be a great feat to see. And in some respects, I'm glad they've got the opportunity to do it at home, even though obviously there are still going to be, I'm sure, one or two nerves.
I'm with you, Jason. It's always best to finish something so poetic at home in front of 32,000, and that's nothing or no detriment against the magnificent fans that went to the Abbey Stadium on Saturday. But I think it was inevitable that Peterborough and Bolton were going to get the results that they require. Although after 40 minutes, it looked as if we were going up. But the permutations are interesting. Just quickly on those, tomorrow's game or tonight's game. Posh against Cheltenham. Cheltenham are fighting for their lives. If they don't win tonight, they get relegated. So they're not going to roll over. And I'm sure Curtis Davis will be telling them the importance of giving a performance. I think Posh will come out with it 2 or 3-1 tonight. But even so, that leaves them with a goal difference of +7 behind us. And they go into the game against Bolton on Saturday, which I can't remember. I think Peterborough at home, if I remember rightly. Which means that Bolton have got to go to Peterborough and score 4, and we lose 1-0, or Peterborough win 7-0, and we lose 1-0. So, although a Forest fan did remind me today that it happened to them a couple of years ago when they were +5, and they had a 6-goal swing when they were playing Stoke on a Tuesday night, I believe. So, hey, anyway, let's go back to the game. So, I actually thought that the stats, when I saw the stats, I was quite interested because it said that Derby had 49% possession, and I didn't believe that at first because all I remember is the second half being bombarded and pretty much sat in that low block and just fighting for our lives. We'll come on to the first half, and you'll lead us into that, Jason. But one thing that I saw the stat I never want to see again, and hopefully if we do go into the championships, we won't see again, was Derby County won 49 of 78 aerial duels. Now, that means that the ball was in the air literally every minute, which is staggering. The fact that we won 49 aerial duels in a game just shows you the kind of game they're up against Cambridge. Cambridge clearly didn't water the pitch again. They clearly made it as rough as possible, and they nearly got away with it. They obviously saw what Northampton did and pretty much replicated it. The difference was that we had our finishing boots on, or a certain Mr. Mendes Lang had his finishing boots on, and against Northampton, they didn't. So, yep, onwards and upwards, guys.
No, absolutely. And yeah, Jack, it was a point that I was going to bring up. It did feel like the ball was in the air. It did feel quite a scrappy sort of end to end. Nobody really put the foot on it. So the 1 or 2 times that Derby sort of did manage to get the ball down and work it. Obviously, one Mendes Lang obviously crashed one against the bar from 25 yards out just previous to his goal. And then, of course, that goal, which was on the counter, a lovely ball from Sibley, and a nice, calm, cool finish from Mendes Lang, somebody who's obviously not been on the score sheet for a few weeks. But I think Chris is right, Jack. What's your thoughts? It was a bit of a nitty gritty sort of bitty game, and probably one that I think if we look at it honestly, we never expected fast flowing, free flowing football from Cambridge and Derby in that sort of fixture.
Absolutely. I mean, just to pick out another stat, and when I saw Saturday night and slipped into me match report piece, which is on the website, as is a write-up from Sunday as well, is Derby only completed 52% of their passes also, which is the second lowest total of the season behind the trip to the Pirelli all the way back in August, which of course that was a good day for Derby with a 3-0 win. But again, it was that idea of not letting Derby play, wasn't it, on Saturday? And that was, yeah, what they set up to do. And, you know, for the most part, nailed, because, you know, Derby in that second half in particular were just sat back, just, you know, felt like we were weathering a storm a lot of the time. But at the, you know, the end of the day, we've got the job done. A point will do on Saturday. Be nice to end with three, but a point on paper will do, or of course all the results going our way. And you know, it's the same thing as when we talk about fans at sometimes not being happy with the style of football. At the end of the day, if we go up, we go up, and we're all happy, regardless of what's happened in terms of how we've played, as long as we've got the results. Once we're back in the championship, we're all going to be sat here going, successful season.
Yeah, and I think obviously we are a review podcast, and we like to go into detail, and we like to not nitpick, but we like to give our opinions. And you are almost at that, well, you probably are now at the point of that season where dissecting Cambridge away for the next 45 minutes isn't that important when we know that a point on Saturday gets us into the championship. And I think, let's be honest, this team will look, I would assume, the first weekend in August, or first weekend in for last weekend in July, however it falls this year, probably August with the Euros. I would expect the team to look very, very different if Derby obviously do manage to get over the line. I think the team will look pretty different if we're still in League One. But so yeah, going over it, raking it over it all, Chris, with a fine tooth comb is probably a bit of a waste of time. But there are a couple of things that you can kind of drag out, and we've just covered a couple of them. The ball wasn't particularly on the floor. Derby, we know, aren't necessarily a that sort of a team. They do like to get it down. Other than obviously the Mendes Lang chance and then his goal, did Derby particularly create a massive amount? I wouldn't necessarily have said so. Did Cambridge really look like scoring? Again, I don't particularly think so, if I'm honest. Obviously, Joe pulls out a pretty solid save, and there's a couple of blocks in and around that sort of move as well, which Derby have done as a defensive unit mostly all season pretty well. I just got the feeling it was from Derby's perspective, it was a don't lose it. And that's not a bad attitude, but at the same time, and we've said it times before, that can be a bit of a dangerous way of playing. They got the goal in that first half, and they did pretty much what they've done on a fair few occasions when they've been in front at half time, which is sit back, defend deep, defend as a block. And I suppose you're almost as a fan, you're not wanting Derby to score early anymore under Paul Warne, certainly this season. But obviously, we'll wait and see if that tactic changes with different personnel and a different style in a different league, hopefully next season. But the biggest take home from me is the result. I don't think there's a great deal else to talk about in a massive positive fashion, other than we got the goal we needed, we kept the clean sheet. Which, if you're going to do that, and all we've got to do is keep one more clean sheet on Saturday, and we're back in the championship.
Yeah, and also I think it's safe to say that if we do go up to the championship, I think you can pretty much guarantee you won't be facing or seeing that type of football against Derby County again over 46 games. I think the championship this year, what I've seen, has been very good. I think the quality of football has certainly got better since we were in it 2 years ago. You look at some of the games, even looking at the likes of the bottom five or six, I'd probably take Rotherham out of it to an extent, but they've always been competitive and lots of free-flowing football, of which is Derby's forte. Look, one thing I took out of the game on Saturday was that this team is a unit and they're in it together. I also think that a lot of them expect not to be here next year, if that makes sense. It's almost like a final hurrah of their season, or of their career, sorry. That, you know, to put another promotion on their CVs, they come to an end. There's probably four or five players who would be quite happily stay in League One or League Two, or probably retire anyway. You know, I'm thinking the likes of Hurrihan, for example, being one. The other thing that sprung to mind was how strong our bench was for a League One game. It's so nice to be this end of the season, knowing that we can rely on the bench, because, you know, us guys were sitting here, wasn't we, looking halfway through the season, looking at the bench and scratching our heads, thinking, if we end up with this bench this time of the season, we're going to be in problems. But he's got firepower, and he's also got strategic power on the bench to tweak not only the forward line, the back line, but also the formation. So I have no doubts going into the game on Saturday, what I saw on Saturday, that the mentality not to concede is there. And I also think they look quite organised. There was almost an understanding of who was responsible to clear ahead from a certain entrance into the area, from a certain side of the pitch. There were certain headers that I saw which I thought Cashin was going to take, but Nelson stepped in and Cashin dropped 2 yards behind him. And it was so well organised that I never really felt in doubt. The only issue I had was Joe Wildsmith and his kicking. You know, his saves were magnificent, but his kicking, his distribution worried me. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm with you, Jason. It was a performance that was required. I think tactically you were spot on. I think they were set up not to lose. And yeah, Jack, I don't know what your thoughts were.
I think it was very much, as you say, I think the key word is it was what was required in that circumstance. I think, as you say, great organised unit, and that kind of unity, that togetherness, and the way Derby defended was kind of typical of what we expect from the Paul Warne team. But it does the job, and this is where, in these moments previously, it's why he's considered a promotion specialist. Hopefully, we can still be saying that in a week's time, and I don't have egg on my face for saying that now. But yeah, it was, you know, Mendes Lang, good goal. And other than that, just, yeah, really solid from Derby. One concern I did have with Wildsmith's distribution was the last game that really stands out in my mind, where his distribution was really poor and we were kind of sitting back, was going, and this is going back, what, 18 months now. If you think back to when we were away to Torquay United in the first round of the FA Cup, and Derby was sat back at 2-0 up. Wildsmith was just hoofing it, you know, out of play every time. And we all know how that ended. Ended in a replay. Obviously, we won the replay 5-0, but there's no replays in the league. And I guess that was my one slight fear. But I think, yeah, you felt we're in, you know, strong position, get this over the line. And you go into the final day now hoping and praying that, yeah, this Derby team should be able to play a little bit more at home if they want to. If they want to go back to the wall, then, you know, a point's fine. But it comes with that same risk that playing for a point comes with, which is, if you don't get that point, you come away with nothing, you are going to be, you know, that's, I mean, especially with 30,000 in the crowd, you're going to be slated. So it's going to be interesting to see how they approach it, really. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that. What do we reckon the team will look like on Saturday? The approach will look like? Will it be back to sort of the more controlled, you know, in possession sort of attacking football that we've seen at times, or yeah, very much the same, just get over the line?
It was a question I was gonna pose to you both, and I think it's a hard one. I think one. Just to say, that's about as much as Cambridge as we need to talk about. But one bit about, obviously, the Cambridge, and Chris mentioned it about the bench, and Paul Warne called it the Harlem Globetrotters, is we got to see Max Bird. And Saturday will be probably Max's final game as a Derby County player. So if he's fit enough, I wouldn't be surprised to see him start. And then brought off for a, hopefully a standing ovation, and Derby have already got promotion in the bag. Other changes, it'd be harsh to change much. Again, we don't know what the injury situation is. We don't know if we're missing one or two. But it's one of them where I think the players that over the last couple of months have played the major part in getting Derby to where they are now, I think deserve, you know, the final game of the season to get us over the line. I think in, you know, a couple of the maybe the injured lads, if you can bring them on, if Derby, you know, are sailing and you can bring them on just to give them a bit of the atmosphere, fine. You know, somebody like a Corey Blackett-Taylor, you want him to be in the mix and build up his confidence, which is seems a little bit fragile. But at the same time, I think it would be a little harsh on a Barkhuizen or who have played a probably a bigger part throughout the whole of the season. So it all depends, doesn't it? If we're 2-0 down at half time, which let's be honest, isn't probably against the realms of possibility, although I'm fairly confident it won't, then things change. But of course, if Derby are coasting at half-time and he can ring the changes, and obviously then it's a completely different part of the atmosphere. I think one thing we have learned by Paul Warne and Paul Warne's style is that he isn't afraid to change it. He isn't afraid to drop individuals. He isn't afraid. He has got his own favoured system, but he also has, I think, quite well this year played the opposition as well. And so obviously they will have done all the scouting. They'll have done everything that they need to do. Carlisle have beaten Peterborough, beaten Portsmouth recently. I think, well, they've certainly beaten Portsmouth. I think it was Peterborough. It might have been Bolton. I can't remember now. But they've certainly taken a couple of the top boys and tore through them. So, and let's face it, they're not going to play with any fear. So, it, of course, cliche after cliche, I'm sure we're about to mention in the next 5-10 minutes, but they've just got to be professional. They've got to do the job. And post, what, Shrewsbury, Stevenage, whichever game came after, 95% of the time, Paul Warne's got it pretty much right. Yes, we've had one or two probably rocky performances, maybe got one or two wrong. But on the whole, and I think that obviously very much goes hand in hand as to why Derby had sat on the verge of promotion, he has got it right more often than not. So I pretty much don't expect him to change his philosophy, and I don't expect him to implode on Saturday just because, you know, it means Max Bird gets a farewell on the pitch and things like that. If it's not right for him, I don't think he will make those. I don't think he will necessarily make those changes unless he has to. And as I say, we're used to that, Chris, aren't we? And I don't see why. Okay, if we were already over the line, fine. You'd give Vickers a run out. You'd give somebody else. These players would probably, it would be completely different. But I don't see much injuries permitting, I don't see much of a different starting 11, personally. Say the only one is potentially Max Bird. But what I would say is if he was to bring Max Bird in, that is very harsh on either Adams, Smith, or whoever else has been, Mendes Lang, whoever else has sort of been playing as a top point of that midfield. It'd be extremely harsh to drop any of those after what most of those have performed like over the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, there's no room for sentiment, is there? And that sounds really quite harsh. But based on what you've just said, and Jason, you know, things can quickly change on a Saturday. You know, there could be a freak 2-0 start by Bolton away at Peterborough, and all of a sudden those murmurs can get over to Prior Park and the fear can easily relay onto the pitch, and all of a sudden Derby could then make a mistake, and all of a sudden there's a 3-goal swing in the space of 15 minutes, and all of a sudden there's panic. So I don't think he will be sentimental. I think inevitably they will get onto the pitch if the job is done, or pretty much has done. I think it will rely heavily on the other result as much as our game. I think, despite what Paul Warne says, and I don't care what he says, his eye in his ears will truly be on what's happening at the other games. He would be naive not to, almost, because I know you've got to concentrate on your own job, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, that the crowd are going to relay what's happening to the personnel on the pitch anyway. What I will say about Carlisle is that they've lost 5 out of the last 6, and the last time they got a great win against Peterborough, which was back on March the 29th, they were still in the outside chance of staying up. So obviously the impetus for them to fight for their lives was there. Since then, they've been beaten by some good teams, not great teams, but good teams, Northampton, Lincoln, Blackpool, etc. And I think when the writing's on the wall, it's clearly for all to see that their heads and their form has considerably dropped. So I think it's a different Carlisle that we're facing on Saturday than it was that beat Portsmouth, Bolton and Peterborough. So going back to the thought of the sentiment, I just wonder whether there's 3 or 4 players that will not be seen in a Derby shirt again. You know, Bird is definitely one. Will he get a swan song? Probably. Hourihane will probably be his last game, I would imagine. The likes of Fornar, even people like him, who I just don't see fitting in the Championship squad next year. And certain others, Waghorn even. I think it'll be a very interesting last 20 minutes, Jack.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you rightly point out, you know, there's no room for sentiment in, you know, when there's still something to play for. And I think the other key thing is those players would much rather go out with a promotion than a cameo. That's, you know, they are all going to be, they'd rather be on youth subs or sat up with the analysts or whatever, if it means we get over the line. So yeah, 100%. It will only be, changes will only be made if it's for footballing reasons. But yeah, I mean, this is no relevance to listeners who will know this, but just as we are recording, I don't know if you've both seen, Cheltenham have just gone 1-0 up at home to Peterborough. So that could be a spanner in the works. This is basically my live radio gig audition at this point, me bringing you live scores. This is, yeah, no relevance on a pre-recorded podcast. But yeah, I think it is. Paul Warne is 100% going to have somebody focused on the game at whatever Peterborough Stadium is called at the moment. Is it Weston Homes Stadium still, I think? But yeah, it's just, I mean, hopefully Derby can just do a job, get it over the line, and we can have a bit of a Pride Park promotion party for what it would be. I mean, it'd be the first automatic promotion for Derby this century if they were to do it on Saturday. Which, yeah, I mean, first promotion I can remember. I mean, just the spectacle of the game, and I think this is the only thing that worries me slightly as a kind of, you know, rogue chance for Carlisle is, yeah, as you say, they are, you know, they're down and out, but they're playing in front of a 32,000 strong crowd, something that's not going to happen in League Two. And could they just want that one last scalp, that one last hurrah to go out on? Would be my only fear. Sometimes the team that nothing to play for can be just as, if not more, dangerous if we underestimate them. And in that sense, it could be a banana skin. But I should hope that it can, yeah, it should be all right for Derby. The one other cautionary tale, of course, you were talking about Forest earlier, is to cast our minds back to the final day of the League Two season in the 2021-22 season. Bristol Rovers, of course, that day snuck into third on the final day and the last automatic promotion spot, the 7-0 win. So these things can happen. It is not quite over the line yet. to my, I mean, my confidence about us having one foot in the championship is about as confident as I would be if it was me literally having one foot somewhere and trying to balance. So, you know, that's where my head's at. But yeah, I think I think it should be a decent game, decent spectacle, great atmosphere before kickoff and hopefully throughout the 90 minutes to hopefully end this season on a high.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, from somebody who's going to be there, I feel pretty confident. I think Saturday was job done. But I'm sure at what, 25 past 12, as it's an early kickoff on Saturday, I'm pretty sure I might not quite feel just as confident. And I think just a point of my own, just to kind of cover what you've both just said about Carlisle. Obviously, we have said for a couple of weeks, when we was looking at these fixtures, who, you know, if you could handpick anybody out of the division to play the final game, who would you go for? Well, clearly somebody at home and the team that's been relegated for a few weeks. But like I think Jack's just alluded to, they might just want to upset the apple cart. They know they have a hand in basically the automatic promotion race. Even though they're not physically in it themselves, they can definitely cause some damage in it. So, yeah, I don't mean this in any disrespect. Obviously, Leyton Orient came to Pride Park a couple of weeks ago, and you could see they were a team on the beach, in all fairness. And so, yes, with still that, we, you know, Carlisle's mentality, we can go out with a bang, go out with a scalp, and we could deter. I mean, I'd like to think, obviously, Paul Simpson, the manager, won't want to do that against former employees, but employers. But football is a funny old thing, as Jack just mentioned as well, that it's been seen before, it's been done before. And to be honest with you, Bolton, they're capable of putting four or five past a team at home, same as Peterborough. So you do never know. And of course, until what, half past two on Saturday afternoon, I don't think a lot of Derby fans will fully believe that they're promoted, but I think we do stand a pretty solid chance. And it's a strange feeling, like you say, Jack. I mean, I was only 10 when they got promoted the last time, as the automatic from out the automatic promotion. Of course, we had the playoff win, but we don't talk about that. But yeah, and I remember being at the baseball ground that day against Palace, and it was, but I was a bit too young for it, really. So yeah, looking forward to hopefully just a good day all round. And God, I hate to see the state of Derby City Centre at about 9 o'clock on Saturday evening, because if things go right, I have a feeling it's going to be a messy one. And I'm not going to lie, I will probably be in the middle of it somewhere. And just to round off the men's side of things, Chris, you've just alluded to us in the little break there, and I had forgotten this, but yes, you were working for Derby that fateful day at the baseball ground in 95, 96? I can never remember now. 96, against Palace. So somebody who has obviously seen the jubilations. I've seen plenty of disappointments at Pride Park on final sort of, and I know it wasn't the final game of the season, but certainly final home game of the season. Talk us through what you can vividly remember of that day. Of course, that was promotion to the Premier League. That is a bigger achievement, of course. But I think when you look back at obviously where Derby County have been over the last 2 or 3 years, a promotion, an automatic promotion, an outright promotion is still a promotion at whatever level. And from, you know, humble beginnings again after administration and almost the rebirth, hopefully, of the club back to better days. It's still quite poignant. It's still quite a big thing and a big key thing. And we said it last year about that. And obviously we failed to do that. If obviously Derby hadn't have managed it this year, where would that have put us? You know, we could have been languishing down here for a few years. So a promotion, especially at home, like you said earlier, on the final day, take us back to that sunny day in May, I believe, 1996, and what the whole day and the experience, of course, as a fan of Derby County, as you well are, but also obviously from the employment side of things as the announcer as you were at the time, and that the build up to it from a corporate side as well.
Yeah, well, on that particular day, I wasn't the announcer. Actually, it was a guy called Adrian who was the announcer that day. He took the mic over. Those were the days where on the events team we used Ram FM to do the actual announcing. So we had Adrian. I'm trying to think of his surname now. I can't think of it. But no, on the event, I was still on the events team, and it was a strange one. It was April, actually. It was April the 28th. I remember it like it was yesterday. I also remember there was only 17,000 there, but it felt like 77,000. The atmosphere was incredible. I think the difference between that game and this game was the fact that Palace were also in it with an outside chance of getting promotion. So I think the writing was on the wall. And also, if I remember rightly, we had to make some adjustments towards the end of the season. I think Trollope came in, I think Flynn came in, and Matt Carbon came in at the back with Steemack, because obviously Dean Yates had been the stalwart throughout the season. The thing I remember about that game or anything is that they always say you can never score too early, but you can. You can, because we scored, I think it was, just looking at my notes, it was probably about the 13th minute or something like that, where Sturridge clicked onto that wonderful pass by Carlisle manager Paul Simpson, and finished incredibly well, especially off a really shocking pitch, took it on the bounce. And then Derby sat back. There was a fear, because all of a sudden, the promised land was there for them. The promised land of the Premier League was there. They'd scored the goal, they'd got the win. And all of a sudden, the whole body language of the team was different. They almost started looking at each other thinking, what do we do? Do we sit? Do we press? And then for that 10 minutes of where they're unsure, if you remember, Palace scored and scored a very good goal, and were actually then the better team, up to the point where Van der Laan scored the second goal on the back post in the second half. But the one thing I remember about it more than anything was you've got to remember, throughout that 5 or 6 years, Derby were a promotion team. They'd done Division 3 promotion. They'd done Division 2, that you know, not far off. And the team was in a good place. But all I remember more than anything was how many unsung heroes there was. The Sean Flynns, the Trollopes, the Rowitz, the Powells, the Willems, the Van der Laans. You know, these players who basically earned the right to play in that game and earned the right to get his promotion. And I think that's what made that team so special, the fact there were so many unsung heroes. You see teams are now winning the championship and getting promoted into the Premier League. And we all know pretty much 6 or 7 of them. But they're all internationals on 50, 60 grand a week, even at the top of the championship. Well, you look at that team, Jim Smith put it together on a shoestring. You know, that, and it's very similar in the sense that they were lavishing around 13th or 14th, you know, onto the point where we signed Steemack. In fact, I think we're around the bottom five and hadn't really done nothing. So it sort of has its parallels. And the other thing I was going to say was, last time Derby won, I think last time when Derby won the championship in 72, I want to say that Carlisle was the team that we played. I'm pretty sure it was Carlisle. So yeah, anyway, I'm showing my age, guys. I thought I'd just throw that in. It was a special day, And let's hope we get it again.
Yeah, unfortunately, 72 was a little bit before my time. But yeah, funnily enough, I've been reading Ryan Hill's book at the, just recently again of the about Jim Smith, and I think in fact Paul Simpson hadn't been playing for Derby. He was a bit in and out at that point, and he was selected for that game, and yeah, he had quite an impact. And you say about a couple of the unsung heroes. I mean, actually, it's a bit harsh of me to not mention Louis Sibley's performances at left back over the last few, certainly the last couple of games, but more in large since he's been sort of pushed back there. I think he's been brilliant. He has set up goals. He has been involved. Maybe you could call him a little bit of an unsung hero. I don't think Ibu Adams is an unsung hero. I think he's very much a sung hero since he's come in. But yeah, there are one or two, and as we mentioned, there are still plenty of people to think about and mention, and I hope it doesn't come into this at all. But a Max Bird goal in the final few minutes to promote us, or something like that, or Rehan, who I think quite rightly has probably been given a little bit of criticism this season. He hasn't been at his. He certainly isn't as good as he was last year, in my opinion. But he, of course, is still the club captain. Don't expect him to start, but you never know. He did it against Leyton Orient. He came in and whipped in the corner for the third. Not calling them unsung heroes, but there's still a lot of players. And we mentioned the squad. It is a close-knit squad. I think we can all see that. So I still think there's plenty on offer there for a few people to, as you say, maybe say their goodbyes, stake a claim for the championship next season, because I still think there are probably a couple who are umming and ahhing about staying at Derby and probably Derby keeping them. You never know. A great sort of performance on Saturday, it might just turn one or two heads and ask a few questions. But yes, promotion isn't something that, okay, unless you're probably Man City and you're used to winning championships, or you're a United fan, or Liverpool of the 90s and that kind of thing, late 80s. We're not. Derby have always been the nearly team, haven't they? No matter what sort of league they've been in, they've been the nearly team for promotion so many times. So, for Derby to actually achieve it, what that will mean, not just for the football club, but for the surrounding, area again, because of course, we know relationships with the football club were severed 2, 3 years ago. Okay, under a completely different regime, I get all that. But, there probably had been a bit of reluctancy of local businesses getting involved with the football club because of what they'd seen in the past. And, hopefully all that can come back, congregate again together and get the football out the way, and hopefully it's a positive result. And of course, I don't think I need to say that David Clowes will probably or has already very much written his name into folklore in Derby. But when you think about it, what a promotion under him and Paul, and it would just be brilliant. And some clubs might laugh at that, getting this excited about getting back into the championship, but of course, 2 years ago, we didn't even know if we was going to have a football club. So, the way that they could potentially, obviously, achieve what they can achieve on Saturday is nothing short of remarkable. And I'm looking forward to hopefully then being able to be not looking too far ahead, but hopefully be a competitive side at least for a couple of years in the championship. I mean, if we do an Ipswich, then great. I'd be more than happy with that. Unfortunately, I don't see us doing an Ipswich with the squad that we've got. But no, I'll take a couple of years of consolidation and a bit of normality as a Derby fan. That would be great from me. But Jack, you're gonna give us the inside scoop, as we say. Wasn't the only Derby County team to benefit from Cambridge United, and Derby's women have got their hands on some silverware. They have won their final. And you can tell us all about it, mate.
Yeah, so Sunday afternoon, I was up in Manchester at the home of FC United of Manchester, Broadhurst Park. And yeah, Derby Women were in action against Cambridge United in the final of the FA Women's National League plates. And yeah, it's first bit of national silverware for Derby County women. I mean, it's a good performance from Derby, good game where, I mean, I would say we looked pretty comfortable from the start. And we were favourites. Cambridge are seventh in the division below. Tier below. Apologies, because that's split into four. They're seventh in the southeast. But yeah, Derby, after half an hour, Eleanor Ashton from the spot. She took that away with the composure of senior pro, to be quite honest, which was somebody still quite young who had a penalty saved against Halifax a week earlier was great. And then second on the stroke of half time, Amy Sims had the ball kind of palmed into her path from the keeper, and she spotted it home. And then third with 5 minutes to play, first goal of the season for Emily Joyce, which, you know, as a midfielder, she enjoyed that one with having not got one so far this season. That was a great strike from distance. And I mean, I think the thing that really struck me again on Sunday, and hopefully I think we're going to see evidence of again on this coming Saturday at Pride Park, is just the impact, as you say, on the community, really. You could see, you know, fans there and the connection, players, families. And I do just want to, as I kind of ended the piece, I do just want to give a mention to, as we're talking about unsung heroes, all the people who make the club kind of tick, really, on that level. You know, the players and staff doing everything they're doing, but also all the volunteers as well at that level. And I think for the entire setup to win silverware in that sense, after what's been, I guess, a slightly disappointing league campaign, you know, it's a great day, something for the young side to build on. And in terms of David Clowes as well, credit to him. He was there and he got to come in and lift the trophy as well, as I'm sure you've seen some of the pictures. So, you know, first bit of silverware under David Clowes for senior Derby County squad as well. So there's another little milestone. And yeah, there's, what, three games left now? News, they've got Wolves away tomorrow night. And then they've got a game at home to Liverpool, Feds on Sunday. And then they finish their season a week on Sunday up at Burnley. But yeah, it was a comfortable win for Derby. Great afternoon, a great venue, lovely day. And yeah, I think, as I said, if we think back to kind of 3 o'clock this past Saturday to hopefully 2:30 this coming Saturday, what a period of a week. As I'm classing it out by, you know, looking into the intricacies of the hours that this could end up being for the club. And, you know, hopefully again, this is the start of, you know, of this kind of era after a couple of years building with David Clowes in charge, and it can come forward, and hopefully we can be covering more and more success as the years go by.
Absolutely. He's probably thinking this football ownership looks quite easy, isn't he? After this, I very much doubt that. I very much doubt that. I'm sure the promotion boost in the coffers will help him. But no, well done to Derby Women. We have obviously tried to cover them as much as we can this year. Thanks to Jack for all your insights from the ladies, and yeah, congratulations to them. As you say, I know it has probably been a bit of a disappointing league campaign for them, but something to build on, as you say, and. You know, hopefully they can start finish this season strongly, and yeah, hit back next season and have another go at the league, because I know obviously last year they weren't a million miles away, and of course, I mean, Derby men's getting into the championship probably benefits the women financially as well. There's you know, there probably is a bit of a windfall there for them as well to help strengthen, because I know certainly over the last couple of years in the women's, as me and you have chatted, Jack, and I've seen myself, you know, Derby have been an up and around it, but then there's always been a team that have kind of pumped a lot of money into their women's team, like obviously Newcastle this year. I know Forest have always been pretty well funded from a women's side. And obviously Wolves have been up there over the last couple of years as well. So, yeah, fingers crossed that that benefits all round. And as you say, yeah, no, congratulations to them. And yeah, not a bad first sort of season year in charge as a chairman for David Clowes. And fingers crossed that obviously also stretches to Saturday. And let's hope, as we say, Derby County are going to be celebrating at 2:30 on Saturday. And whilst it will probably never go away for the generations that have been involved in it, Derby getting re-promoted back to the Championship just probably closes a chapter of the last 2-3 years that obviously none of us want us to have to reopen again. I mean, that obviously may happen in another 12 months time and we could be looking at relegation. I'm not looking too far ahead at that, but you know, you never know. But it does feel very much, if Derby can get the job done, as we've said for the last few weeks, would have been great to go up as champions. It really would. It would have been the icing and the cherry on the top. But at the end of the day, the cake still tastes as good in second. And obviously, I'm sure we all want to wish everybody good luck for Saturday and a good day out. And obviously, hopefully, the positive result. And then, of course, we as a podcast can sit back a little bit, but I'm sure the management team behind the scenes will be frantically trying to build a new squad for the Championship, which of course gives us talking points and the transfer and more transfers and the old football merry-go-round goes round and round again. But yeah, it would really be great to finish it because I don't know if I can stomach the playoffs, if I'm honest. But yeah, not going to mention that word. And that is about as much as I think we need to cover. Of course, if things all go to plan, then we are looking forward to quite a bumper, I'm sure, episode next week to talk all about it. And then there'll be much more to talk about in terms of players and transfer potentials and all this, that and the other in the coming weeks before the and over the close season. But it's one to go. It's one to go, gentlemen. And as I'm sure, just to end the piece, and I'll say my thanks to you both. It's been a roller coaster. There's been a lot of up and downs, but I think, well, I'd be gobsmacked if there's any Derby fan that would not have taken this position 45 games ago. So all the best to Derby County on Saturday. Chris, thanks for joining me, mate.
Yep. Thank you, Jason, and good luck to the Rams. And let's keep everything crossed. I'm sure that we're going to have a good day.
And Jack, thanks for joining me as always, mate. Thank you.
Thank you. I will simply echo those sentiments from the both of you. Let's hope that we can be having a nice celebratory bumper episode next week, in which, I mean, it's even bumper on the news side because we'll have had two games by then. So I'll have a little segment with two games. We'll have all sorts.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. Can't say I'm looking forward to the hangover that I'm expecting to have on Sunday, but at the end of the day, it's all worth it, especially to see my football club back in the Championship will be great. So that's it from this week's episode of the Rams Review Podcast. And as always, and probably more importantly for Saturday, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast. Or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.